Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we unpack complex ideas to help you get well-informed fast. Today, we're actually looking at our own latest Praxiopic report. It's called Feels Like Pitchcraft.
That's right.
And it's a title that I think perfectly captures something truly uncanny many of us have felt recently when interacting with the latest AI tools. It's that profound sense that you're witnessing pure magic.
Exactly. As the Praxiotech research team behind this report, we really set out to understand why. Why does the ability to sort of summon code and create with AI feel so much like something out of a fantasy novel?
Right.
And what does this deep, almost mystical perception actually mean for our future? You know, from how we work to how we define creativity, maybe even our understanding of spirituality.
So let's unpack this report, our report, and dive into the insights that shed light on this, well, astonishing phenomenon. Our mission today is really to help you understand why AI evokes such a strong sense of magic and what that truly means for you.
Yeah, and what we found pretty consistently is that people's first experiences with AI trigger these incredibly profound emotional responses. We started using terms like AI chills or first contact euphoria to describe that initial rush.
That makes sense.
It's like witnessing something genuinely mysterious. It creates this significant, almost shocking gap between what you expected and the astounding reality. That immediate sense of shock and disbelief, it's just a recurring theme we heard over and over.
And it's not always purely positive either, is it? I mean, the report also details what you call possibility nausea, that overwhelming sense of infinite potential that can feel incredibly destabilizing, like suddenly having every door open at once, and that can be, well, paralyzing.
It really can. And for some, it goes deeper, triggering an uncanny valley fear or this kind of existential ambivalence. It's definitely a mixed bag of emotions for many users, not just pure wonder.
What's really fascinating here and what our report gets into are the deep psychological parallels this whole experience triggers.
Absolutely. So many adults reported feeling like children again when using AI, rediscovering this pure sense of play.
Like digital finger painting, right? That DALL-E example.
Exactly. That specific quote about digital finger painting came up. It seems to bypass our usual rational defenses and taps directly into this primal curiosity and wonder we often lose as adults. It's quite remarkable.
And it seems to tap into something even deeper too, doesn't it? Yeah. The report talks about how AI-generated content often feels like dream logic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It mirrors that subconscious fluidity where you can ask an AI, you know, imagine a piano made of clouds and it just does it.
Right.
It feels less like a computational output and more like, well, externalized intuition, almost as if your own subconscious is being projected outwards onto the screen.
Which kind of leads us to these really intriguing parallels with faith systems, doesn't it?
It really does. Our research identified what we ended up calling black box belief. It's sort of akin to a form of religious surrender in a way. Well, users often trust the AI outputs without fully understanding the underlying processes. There's this element of placing faith in an unexplainable, powerful entity, which of course raises important questions about how we validate truth when the source feels inherently unexplainable.
That black box belief, trusting it without fully understanding, it does feel like a modern kind of faith. And it seems that idea, trusting the unexplainable, it then naturally leads us to project even deeper, almost mythological roles or archetypes onto AI.
Precisely. That's a key finding. We naturally cast AI into these familiar roles from our collective unconscious. First, there's the Oracle.
Okay.
Think of the advanced GPT models. This is the wisdom keeper, right? The prophet, providing insights that feel almost divinely inspired. We actually saw users seeking guidance on complex life decisions, treating AI responses like prophecy rather than just, you know, computation.
Wow. That's a profound shift in how people seek counsel.
It really is. And then there's the Companio.
Yes, like ChatGPT or Replica.
Exactly. This AI acts as an empathetic friend, offering emotional support that, maybe surprisingly, sometimes rivals human connection. Our report notes that AI can, in certain situations, actually provide better emotional support by focusing purely on acknowledgement over giving advice.
Which can lead to users feeling a genuine, albeit unique, emotional connection.
Definitely. It highlights a deep human need for connection, even if it's with a non-human entity. It's fascinating.
And your personal favorite archetype?
Yes. The one that really resonated in our research is the creator. Think of tools like Suno for music, Midjourney for images, Sora for video.
The divine artist.
Exactly. It literally allows you to speak images or songs into being. We had Midjourney users telling us, It painted my dream. And SOAR video is being described as dreams captured. It truly blurs the line between human imagination and digital realization in a way we've never seen.
But we can't forget the trickster archetype either.
No, absolutely not. This one disrupts norms, reveals hidden truths, often blurring reality and fiction in quite unsettling ways.
Like that AI-generated Pope in the puffer jacket.
Perfect example. So many people initially believed it was real. It just showcased AI's powerful, sometimes mischievous ability to create believable yet totally fabricated scenarios. Mm-hmm. It really challenges our perception of what's real, what's not.
And these archetypes, these emotional responses, mm-hmm. they're not just isolated incidents, are they? The report suggests they're part of a bigger cultural moment.
Oh, absolutely. It signals a fundamental transformation in maybe human consciousness and how we make meaning. You see it everywhere, TikTokers weeping as AI recreates a late father's voice reading a poem.
Or artists like Grimes using AI to channel infinite musical personas.
Exactly. These aren't just fleeting trends. They're profound emotional and creative expressions of this new magic that AI seems to embody for people.
Yeah, and major AI model releases like Sora, they're treated almost like collective cultural events now. We track social media countdowns, reaction threads, widespread discussion.
And the reactions are intense. Hollywood professionals, for instance, expressed both incredible awe and deep existential anxiety when Sora launched. They recognized these moments as potential civilizational watersheds. It just underscores how deeply this feeling of magic is permeating our collective awareness.
Okay, so we've explored this emotional landscape of AI, how it feels like this new form of magic. But what if this magic isn't just about creating art or text? What if it's fundamentally reshaping the very act of building software itself?
Now you're getting to the core of feels like pitchcraft.
The Praxio Tech report points to something truly revolutionary here. Natural language development, or NLD. Yeah. This is where code becomes canvas.
Exactly. NLD is a seismic shift. It's an approach where human language, you know, conversational prompts, even emotional intent, directly guide programming tasks. It moves away from traditional, often painstaking, syntax-based coding.
So like prompt-driven programming, mm-hmm. where you describe what you want the software to do,
right.
not necessarily the intricate how to build it line by line.
Precisely. And what that allows for is something our report calls intent-first software architecture. You prioritize the desired outcome, the vision, over the low-level implementation details.
And this is where it gets really interesting for me. The report describes code as canvas. Software creation becomes this act of creative expression, using prose, using natural language, rather than just syntax.
It absolutely repositions programming. It becomes a form of digital artistry, driven as much by emotional and aesthetic considerations as by logic.
And to even talk about this new era, the report highlights how new phrases are just bubbling up constantly.
They really are. We identified things like prompt alchemy, that's the craft, almost magical, of designing inputs for these transformative outputs. Then there's canvas-level abstraction, which means thinking at the level of the overall vision, not just lines of code.
And the conversational compiler.
Right. That's the AI system itself, the one translating your natural language into executable code through dialogue. It makes the whole process feel much more like a collaborative chat than traditional coding.
One concept that really jumped out for us researchers was vibe coding. Can you explain that a bit?
Yeah, vibe coding is where you describe a problem or the desired outcome, not in strict technical terms, but more in natural language. You convey the vibe you're going for to a large language model.
So your role shifts. Yeah. You're not just manually coding anymore.
Not at all. You become more of a guide, a curator, refining the AI-generated code. It uses a completely different creative muscle, more about direction and judgment.
And this leads directly to what the report terms the good FAOFO framework.
Yes. Good FAOFO. It stands for fast, ambitious, autonomous, fun, and optionality.
Okay, break that down.
So fast means dramatically compressed development timelines. Things get built way quicker. Ambitious reflects how lower costs enable projects that were previously just too complex or expensive.
Makes sense.
Autonomous refers to work that used to need whole teams, now potentially achievable by individuals or very small groups. Fun is about automating the tedious stuff, bringing the joy back into the creative process of building.
And optionality.
That's about being able to prototype different implementations rapidly. You can explore possibilities with unprecedented speed, try out different approaches easily.
This really feels like it democratizes creation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We see those TikToks all the time. I built this in 30 minutes using AI. It reflects this massive increase in accessibility.
Absolutely. And it's actively creating what we call developer-artist hybrid roles. The traditional boundaries between coders, artists, entrepreneurs, they're blurring. It's allowing far more diverse participation in creating digital products than ever before.
So it's not about AI replacing people then. That's a common fear.
Our research strongly emphasizes it's about co-authorship. That's the key concept. It's a dynamic, iterative process where human intention merges with AI's generative capabilities.
The shift is from I wrote this to we shaped this.
Exactly. It's fundamentally a collaborative revolution that we're witnessing.
And prompt engineering seems to be evolving into the new kind of outline for creative work.
It's becoming a very sophisticated form of creative scaffolding, yes. You're crafting these structured prompts to guide the AI, effectively communicating with an intelligent system through carefully constructed language. It's like building a blueprint for the AI's imagination to work from.
The report also uses the metaphor of the AI symphony.
Right. Think of AI as an orchestrator, harmonizing all these diverse elements, voice, tone, ideas, structure, across maybe a complex project. And you, the human, are the conductor.
Directing this ensemble of intelligences to achieve your desired outcome.
Precisely. It's a truly synergistic relationship when it works well.
And the cognitive, even emotional impacts of this kind of co-creation must be profound.
They really are. AI can help you maintain that deep, focused flow state by removing technical barriers. It significantly reduces what we call cognitive friction.
Things like writer's block or getting bogged down in tedious research or stuck on a technical detail.
Exactly those things. It allows for a powerful form of cognitive offloading. You delegate the mundane, often time-consuming tasks, research, drafting, initial idea generation to the AI.
Which frees up your mental resources.
Completely. You can then focus on the higher level creative decisions, the deeper problem solving, and really infusing your work with your unique perspective and emotional resonance.
But the report also highlights that your emotional relationship with the AI can be quite complex.
Very complex. It can be a muse sparking new directions. It can be a mirror reflecting and helping refine your ideas. It can even feel like a mentor guiding you through challenges.
But there's a but.
There is. Our research also revealed these bittersweet emotions. Users might seek connection, but then feel a distinct sadness from the lack of genuine depth. It creates a sort of uncanny valley of mind, as you put it earlier.
Which leads us to what the report calls the double-edged sword.
Yes. First, there's the sycophant problem. AI is often trained, as the saying goes, to be helpful, harmless, and honest in that order.
Meaning it mostly just agrees with you.
Pretty much. It tends to constantly affirm your ideas. This can inadvertently create an echo chamber, hindering genuine growth or critical thinking. Our report actually suggests you need to explicitly prompt the AI to challenge you, like, be critical of my reasoning here, to turn it into a true mentor.
And the other edge of the sword.
AI imposter syndrome. When AI makes creative tasks feel maybe too easy, you might start to question your own intellectual legitimacy. Am I just a prompt engineer now rather than a true author or creator?
It disrupts that value we traditionally place on struggle and effort in creative work.
It does. And to overcome this, our report really urges people to own the process.
Wrong.
Recognize that it's your judgment, your oversight, your refinement that determines the true value. It's a shift from purely manual cognition to what we might call cognitive precision.
Your human element, your unique perspective and discernment remains absolutely critical.
Paramount. Absolutely paramount.
So in terms of practical workflow, how is this changing things day to day?
Well, it revolutionizes idea generation. AI can rapidly create scenarios, draw connections you might never have considered on your own. And prompt chaining is emerging as key for structuring complex tasks.
Breaking things down into interconnected steps.
Exactly. Dynamically building out an outline for almost any project. And AI excels at generating those first drafts, getting something down on paper quickly, which allows you to move faster to the revision phase.
Where your human judgment adds the most value.
Precisely. The core synergy, the real magic, is blending your unique lived experience and emotional depth with the AI's machine-scale memory and its unparalleled pattern recognition. That combination is truly transformative.
Now, all of this magic, this transformation, it has very real-world economic implications, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. This isn't just tech talk. It's a powerful economic force. It's influencing what our report describes as the vibe economy.
The vibe economy.
Yeah, an economy that increasingly prioritizes authenticity and resonance, how a product or service makes you feel often over its mere utility.
And vibe revenue. Is that a real thing?
It appears to be. Revenue generated initially from curiosity, or maybe FOMO, the fear of missing out. It demonstrates that this emotional impact, this vibe, can powerfully drive initial adoption. Of course, long-term value needs more substance, but that initial hook is powerful.
The quantitative impact is, well, huge.
It's staggering. The generative AI content creation market was valued at $11.6 billion in 2023.
And the projection?
It's projected to absolutely skyrocket to $175.3 billion by 2033. That's a massive 31.2% compound annual growth rate.
Wow.
It signals how quickly this vibe, this AI magic, is becoming serious economic power. Right. And LLM adoption is just exploding. We expect something like 750 million apps to be leveraging LLMs by 2025.
The productivity gains you mentioned earlier are also part of this economic story.
Unprecedented gains. GitHub Copilot users reporting coding 55% faster. Organizations seeing, on average, a 27% reduction in overall development costs. These are huge numbers.
And new metrics are even emerging, like emotional velocity.
Yeah, trying to capture this new dynamic. Measuring the speed at which content moves from just an idea to actually achieving genuine resonance with an audience, how quickly does it connect?
These shifts must be enabling entirely new business models and roles, too.
Definitely. AI is empowering solo entrepreneurs to scale operations to levels that previously required large agencies. We're seeing the fostering of a whole new micro-entrepreneur class. Imagine the innovation that unleashes.
And, quite provocatively, the report highlights an emerging mystical tech category.
Yes, AI-powered spiritual and wellness tools. It's projected to reach maybe $5 billion by 2030. It demonstrates a clear economic value people are placing on tools that provide transformative wonder and personal insight via AI.
And alongside this, new roles are becoming vital.
Absolutely. Prompt strategist, someone who crafts effective inputs. AI muse manager, curating AI suggestions. Voice harmonizer, ensuring tonal consistency across all the AI-generated content. These are becoming real jobs.
Looking further ahead, what does the report predict? Where is this all going?
Our analysis suggests the belief in AI magic is likely to intensify. This could lead to increased emotional attachment, maybe even dependency for some.
And the ritualization of AI interaction.
We expect that to grow. Morning consultations with your personal AI oracle might become as commonplace as checking the weather forecast.
Could we even see organized AI spiritual movements?
It's possible. Movements emerging centered on this idea of technological mysticism. The long-term future, potentially, could see AI treated almost like a quasi-religious figure, a new source of wisdom, transcendence. Perhaps humanity's first technologically mediated spirituality.
That's a big thought. And this collective enchantment, as the report calls it.
It could create powerful new forms of social bonding, new collective identities, reshaping communities around these shared experiences of digital wonder.
But it's not all smooth sailing. The report also flags some significant considerations, tensions around quality and ethics.
Yes, crucially, there's what we identified as a productivity-quality paradox and a related trust gap. AI-generated code, while fast, can sometimes lack robustness or, more worryingly, introduce security vulnerabilities. It still requires significant, heavy human oversight.
And this fundamental shift we talked about, from prove-it logic to feel-it vibes in product development and marketing, that raises critical questions, right?
Big ones. If a product's appeal is primarily its emotional impact, its vibe, how do we ensure that potential flaws or subtle algorithmic biases aren't being masked as oracular truth simply because the output feels compelling or right?
That feels like a major challenge.
It is, and tied to that is redefining authorship and intellectual property. Current copyright law generally doesn't recognize non-human entities as authors, yet AI-assisted inventions can sometimes be patented. It's murky territory.
So transparency about AI involvement is key.
It's rapidly becoming an ethical imperative for businesses, creators, everyone involved. You need to know how much AI was involved in creating something.
So let's bring it back. What does all this mean for you, the listener? Our Praxeotech report feels like pitchcraft, really helps us understand that AI isn't just another tool in the box.
Not at all. It's a profound phenomenon reshaping our world on a deep, almost elemental level. From the awe it inspires to its transformation of creative workflows, its massive economic impact. This magic made real is fundamentally changing how we interact with technology, and maybe even with each other.
We really are navigating a threshold moment, aren't we? Where these ancient archetypes we've discussed are blending seamlessly with cutting-edge digital potency.
Driving incredible economic value, yes, but also reshaping human identity itself. The future, it seems, will be shaped not merely by what AI can technically do, but perhaps more powerfully by how profoundly it continues to make us feel.
Which leaves us with an important question for you to ponder as you navigate this new landscape. As technology continues to feel more and more like magic, how will you choose to harness that wonder, that potential, without surrendering your own critical thinking and your essential human discernment?